When King Adabron ruled the Wizard's Isle, with resolute hand, by wit and guile, and noble blood did surmount all trial, where the cold dark wind breathes into the dawn, in Cherifer on the autumn morn, Prince Tunel's second son was born. For strength and valor he was acclaimed, in a brother's shadow he would ne'er remain, and so a monarch's crown would gain. So he grew strong and he grew stern, of magic and warfare he did learn, and then to western harm did turn. And fly aloft Harn's west coast, his loyal men and troops did post. There he did muster a mighty host, as worthy Jotheson of high regard, with laden Nivik and stout Talbar, did ferry troops on up the Thard, to Caer Tachan's walls where to invest. He did seek there to serve his prince best, and soon bring death to the dread Lenesk. Chapter on the New Year's Day, where Ithemi blood did long hold sway, a sceptred sovereign this prince would slay. To the royal chamber in the night's small hours, Prince Arryn moves through hall and towers, to confront a tyrant where he cowers. With lethal thought this prince did vie, and bent a cold remorseless eye. So Arrakku's craven blood did die, then Anusi's crown placed on his brow. The Rathemi lords did make their vow, and together they joined forces now. But the Tharnic senators so ill advised, and fast misjudging his army size, thought to take King Arryn by surprise. For war they did prepare, but winter slowed Candacian boots, who would join those legions there. So alone the grim Republic troops to Tachan's lands did go, to mass their camp on the Garmison, swelled from the winter snow, where valiant Osric Jotheson, cadet of Arranontur, a belted earl by Arryn's hand, did make Rathem's flank sure. With Marshal Kronos in command, Thard's legions loose did strike across the river Garmison against King Arryn's might. Yet Queen Marada's legionnaires stood fast against that thrust, while Arryn, taking field himself, in guile did place his trust. So his men pulled back to feign retreat, to lure over bridge and ford, where Rathem's legions fell on them and put them to the sword. Then the black and silver pennants chased Elrond's eastward course, to Imrium and Geminast. King Aaron split their force and shattered Marshall's legionnaires. The Gerium troops so mauled for an Osric girl of Tetchin's heart. Awakened glory called down south Sir Alric Stanley, who caution did disdain. Toward Geshti drove the Coronan and plundered Tharda's train. The garrison raged within Geshti against the Ninth Legion, but Stanley seized the battlements, the fortress he did win. While the Fifth Legion stormed Selvo's keep, and the aged Earl did flee to nurse his power on Tisian's marsh, his vengeance for to see. And the shattered troops of Tharda strove to stay the conqueror's hand, but Marada's men sacked Imrium and cost Cronos command. The screaming clans put the Third Legion to flight. That summer's day on Tisian Moor was such a bloody sight. While Aaron marched east to Shirin's port, where treachery held sway, the gates unbarred before his host, they breached the walls that day. In the desperate streets of Shirin town, old fortune did turn cold. Those scheming vanquished senators sold the city for Aaron's gold. His army now 10,000 strong, he was resolved to sweep across the land north of the Thard, seizing castle, manor, and keep. And stole the march on Anaphlas to drive off that young prince, so that in the woods of Ravenna he crushed Heroth's defense. King Aaron entered Coronon with Tharda at his feet, and the power was finally broken of the grasping Senate elite. I'll serve thee in such noble ways was never heard before, and I will crown and deck thee all with bays and love thee more and more. Proclamation issued there in the Palace of Red Domes, the capital thereafter be, and his royal family's throne. So the black and silver pennants then swept southeast across the land, until at Castle Molaren, proud Cronus signed his hand. Earl Osric's bold united force of Tetchin men took field against those desperate Selvo's troops, forsaken by the checkered shield. So it came to pass that Selvo's might was smashed on Tisian Moor, and the standard of old Clan Chareen, behold those fens no more. I'll serve thee in such noble ways was never heard before, and I will crown and deck thee all with bays and love thee more and more. Then noble Queen Marada rode down south to Molaren, was tasked to hold King Aaron's line through all the conflict's din. The new-crowned Haldan of Kaldor resolved to intervene, marched west with Vemion and young Darion to face King Aaron's queen. But Marada, calling on her troops, her voice so strong and fair, did urge them forth to follow her and rally to her star-spun hair. That glorious queen of brave memory did drive back Kaldor's son, but fell herself in victory. In death her day was won. I'll serve thee in such noble ways was never heard before, and
will crown and deck thee all with bays, and love thee more and more.
The lesser man fears fate too much, or his deserts too small, that dares not put it to the touch to gain or lose it all. So at Hareth, Queevum, and Ibbenast, the royal standard shone, while Landesson clung to Deresa Keep, where he did reign alone. Converging on those Deanshire lands, where treasure could be found, the soldiers fought for bounty there, while Landesson fought for his crown. King Anderson fled from his castle strong, as Arryn's troops drew near. Scant refuge for this beaten king, no pity for Candeir.
I served thee in such noble ways, was never heard before, and I will crown and deck thee all with bays, and love thee more and more.
Candeisian lands all wasted, King Arryn resolved to press, while Lord Sarcum and Anderson fled south toward Eliath. But the 4 long years of miracles, like a slowly setting sun, were drawing to their final hour, when all he would do was done. When the haughty Candeisian herald came, so insolent and vain, delivered King Anderson's gauntlet throne, a duel on the Noria plain. King Arryn, scorning cautious lords, his eyes they did burn cold, to meet young Candeir's impudence for all his lands and gold.
I'll serve thee in such noble ways, was never heard before, and I will crown and deck thee all with bays, and love thee.
Lined the frozen field beneath midwinter sky. Their armor bright cast such a light, it fair dazzled the eye. The nobles fell into a hush, while rebels called and jeered. He mounted up in stately calm, and sat quite unafeared, spurring each their splendid steeds. These two kings did engage, and breaking lance upon their shields, a rabble screamed with rage. With Candeir's mount struck to the ground, they stalked that blood-stained sword, and shattering his rival's shield, they clashed with deadly sword. Fearsome blow, such royal blood did flow, and ruthlessly King Arryn drove across that crimson snow. With ball and chain advancing now, he looked so grave and high, so noble was his manly frame, so clear his steadfast eye. Anderson to his knees. He aimed a stroke the best, and though he slew with that cruel blow, the sword pierced Aaron's breast. King Aaron's arms raised o'er his head, clouds left the sky. In battle he had never stood more proudly than to die. Forbore to shout, and each man held his breath, for well they knew a hero's soul was face to face with death. Loving Varda and his men, he faced his death that morn. A shudder ran across the sky, the work of death was done.